You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Bernadette Peters.
Hey, I'm Anissa Foles.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Fergie L. Philippe.
Hi, I'm Eliza Ullman.
Hola, soy Florencia Cuenca.
Y yo soy Jaime Lozano.
Hi, this is L. Morgan Lee.
It's Alex Brightman from Broadway and beyond.
Hi, this is Joe Iconis.
And this is Lauren Marquez.
Y estás escuchando.
And you're listening to
B-Way Show.
B-Way Show.
B-Way
Show.
The podcast.
Hey, friends. Welcome to B-Way Show, the podcast. Your home for theater conversations from a passionate Broadway fan and reporter. I'm your host, Shoshana, and I want to start off by emphasizing Black Lives Matter, period.
Show must go on.
This week's guest is Fergie L. Philippe. When you knock him down, he gets the back up again. That's right, he's Hercules Mulligan. After graduating from Elon University, Fergie booked Hamilton, first the Philip tour, and then went on to Broadway. We had to celebrate the 10th episode with an actor starring in the $10 Founding Father musical. That's true. Tune into the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade to watch Fergie and the Hamilton cast blow us all away, like the balloons, as they perform The Schuyler Sisters. And check out his incredible podcast, The Craft. Now on to our conversation from April 6th, recorded for my live YouTube series, The Show Must Go On, Line. Enjoy.
How y'all doing? Dun, dun, dun. We are live.
Sing it. What's up, y'all?
Hey, everyone. I am here, Shoshana of B-Way Show, with Fergie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Show? Good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. So how has quarantine been treating you?
No, not going to lie. It's been a struggle. I got to talk to CRNA a couple weeks ago, right when kind of the quarantine first started. And I just had a session with my therapist, and I'm definitely about to need another one. And one of the biggest things that I think is hard for a lot of people to accept right now is that there's an indefinite to this, and we as people, especially those of us who are in the arts or involved with having to be on for our jobs, we thrive so much off of feedback. And so we try to be like good employees and be good performers and good everythings. And part of what makes that easy for us is that when we do a really good thing, we usually get feedback for it. And so if the first like 2-3 weeks, you know, I think we're still in just that, but maybe the first few days of this, it was like, okay, social distancing and making sure that I know what I'm doing, making sure I have all my disinfectants and all this stuff. And the first week was, I think, a little jarring and even a little frenzying because we were doing all of these things and things were getting worse or things weren't necessarily getting better. And that was kind of a lot for, I think, everybody, especially myself, to deal with, because, you know, so much of this is ego driven and our egos weren't being petted at the time. Not that that's a bad thing, just in the sense that that's something we're used to. And so it's been especially difficult for me to just trust in the things that I'm doing eventually helping out, and knowing that even though I can't see the result right now, like later on when things, you know, hopefully do come back to normal, I'm able to look back at this time and go, you know, I'm very glad that I was able to have faith and trust even in something that I couldn't see before. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of where my brain's at.
I feel that so much. It took me kind of a week to figure out what this was going to mean for me and our community.
Yeah.
When live reporting and seeing shows is your job, and for you, obviously,
yeah,
performing in shows, it's like, huh, okay, what does a Broadway reporter do? And so many people were doing the live videos that I thought maybe I'll hold back for a little while. And then I saw like a week in, I was like, okay, now I think we're good to go. And seeing like even your Instagram live last night, it's like sometimes just like human connection is nice.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of been the blessed thing about this whole experience in regards to the time that we live in. Like, you know, it's so easy for us to want to blame technology, or for us to want to kind of keep encouraging people to stay off social media and stuff like that. But these are the moments when these devices and these, you know, sort of services are actually very helpful to us, especially things like Instagram Live and, you know, Zoom and FaceTime and all of the, and your YouTube live series. Like, these are all really, it's the one thing that's helping us stay sane in a time when we can't really feel connected any other way.
Yeah. For sure. And talking about feeling connected, my Wi-Fi was being a little off. So
now
I think we're good. And I see everyone's awesome comments.
Oh, great.
So hello, everyone. And I especially want to give my girl Lisa a happy birthday shout out. She's here.
Oh, Lisa, happy birthday.
So exciting. Birthdays in the time of quarantine.
Listen, we got to do what we got to do.
Exactly. Have you been watching any shows? Have you been like feeling a nostalgia trip? Have you been watching some stuff that maybe in the past year you didn't have a chance to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of the biggest things that I'm doing right now. I've been rewatching a lot of stuff. I was out in Montauk for about a couple weeks, like right when the quarantine started. Me and a friend decided to quarantine in Montauk for a couple weeks. And we absorbed so much content. He had never seen Fleabag, so I watched it again with him. Binged all of the show Billions, which is a very good show and I highly recommend. I love Billions. I've been watching a lot of movies. I'm kind of right now, everybody knows who's on my page that I'm a huge Disney fan. I've been making my way through all the Pixars and I've been making my way through all the animation films from the first one and seeing if I can watch all of them in order. And I'm pretty sure I'll be done by the time we're back to normal. Yeah. And I've been rewatching Kimmy Schmidt. That's like my biggest one.
Yeah. Unbreakable.
Yeah. Yeah. So that one's been a lot of fun to kind of rewatch. Yeah, I think those are my main ones that I'm getting on right now. I keep telling myself there's a bunch of shows that I need to finish this season of This Is Us. I need to finish Handmaid's Tale because I've been behind on that for a couple of years now. I need to finish Succession, Westworld. There's a bunch of shows I need to watch. And I keep putting it off and watching something I'm familiar with instead. But I'm going to get to those other shows soon. I definitely want to finish those.
Yeah, I feel that. Awesome. And I saw the amazing original Broadway cast of Hamilton reunion.
Yeah, that was crazy. You know what's funny? It's that you would think that when you're in the show that you know about all of these different things. And I found out on our like mutual Facebook page. Somebody was like, did anybody know this was happening? And we were all just like, whoa. But it was, I mean, I think either my mom, I don't know how I found it, but I found it and was kind of like, oh, that has to be like a weird marketing mix up. Like, that's not actually what happened. And I watched the video and I genuinely teared up. It was so beautiful. And, you know, that's such a sweet thing, especially because I've gotten so many messages from kids that haven't been able to come see the show because of the quarantine. And it's actually been really sad. And it's awesome that, you know, they got to do that little thing just to, you know, put a smile on people's faces. And it looked like a lovely reunion for them. So, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I was getting so emotional. Like, I thought, okay, I'm cool. I love Hamilton. It's fine. Whatever. I'll be okay.
Reminded me of the first time that I saw it or the first time I heard it. It just like took me back to that time. It was lovely.
And so for people, I feel like everyone who's watching knows your origin story, but can you give like a quick little recap, including how you were such a fan?
Yeah. The true deep origin story is that in 2014, the fall, I was in school still. And I was working with somebody named Daniel J. Watts, who's currently playing Ike Turner in Tina. He went to Elon University as well a few years before I had gotten there. And he came back to do a master class. He writes a lot of poetry. And so he came and did a poetry workshop with us. And I was fortunate enough to get to work with him hands on for that week. And he and I were getting some food one night after a rehearsal. He was actually helping me through something. I was writing about something very personal. And I don't know how we got to the subject, but he was kind of opening himself up to me about how he was in these workshops for this really cool show and told me all about Hamilton. And I obviously was like, that's stupid, whatever. And I was like, but, you know, that sounds fun. And he even said in that part, he goes, there's a part, Hercules Mulligan, who's like, so he's like one of the most fun parts of the show. I got to read that a couple times. Like, that's just such a fun part. And I was like, cool. And I kind of followed, you know, at that time, there was literally nothing on it other than Lynn's website that was just saying working on Hamilton mixtape, that's next. And So I kind of kept up with it. And eventually I got to do In the Heights at school. I was in the ensemble. And I remember being like, I really think this form of storytelling and musicals of hip hop is really smart. And I kind of connect with it in a way that I don't connect to other musicals. And so I was like, I wonder if there's anything that Lynn is working on. And then I remembered, oh, that's right, the Hamilton thing. And so, and just when I had kind of got made that click, they had just opened it to the public. And so I, you know, really kept following it for a while. And that's kind of when, you know, I was telling people like, have you seen this? Like, have you seen this clip of him at the White House? Like I was telling everyone about it. And I followed it through the summer and I ended up saving all the money that I made from Summer Stock, using that entire lump sum of money to buy one ticket to go see the show the night before it opened on Broadway, and was able to connect with a guy named Voltaire, who was in the original cast, and he knew a mutual friend of mine. So I got to go backstage and I got to talk to most people. I got to talk to Chris and Oak and David, and it was great. It was a really lovely night. And I saw the show, and the show changed my life. It really did. It was a moment for me that I truly like saw myself on stage for the first time when I saw Oak do Mulligan. It felt like the first time that I saw a role that I was like, this really feels like something beyond that I connect to, but something that I feel like is intrinsically a part of me. And I know that I can help tell that story. The obsession began like everybody else. You know, I couldn't stop talking about it, tweeting about it, Facebooking about it, Instagramming about it, you know, talking about it all the time. I was hashtagging all of my Instagram posts with Mulligan. Like, I mean, I was full nerd out. Thank God and thank the universe and thank all the powers that be that aren't physically a part of me. I was able to get some auditions, a couple of open calls, a couple of video submissions. And towards the end of my senior year of college, I was going up to New York a few times just to, you know, meet with Patrick Vassell, who's the associate, and to meet with other people to work on stuff. And then about 3 months after I graduated, I booked the second national tour, the Philip tour, playing Mulligan, and started rehearsals in December. We went out to Seattle end of January, and I stayed with the tour until August of 2019. You know, Oklahoma City was my last city. And I left, and about a couple days before I left, I was asked to join the Broadway company, which was an insane honor and a really crazy moment for me. And I started rehearsals for that in January, joined at the end of January, only had like a 2-week rehearsal process. And yeah, I've been with them ever since. Yeah, it's been one insane wild ride that I just try to count my blessings on every day, you know?
Yeah, it's been so amazing seeing that journey and seeing you from the tour and then actually getting to see you on Broadway was amazing.
Yeah, insanity, right? And it's so, and there's a fun balance that I'm getting to explore of, you know, taking everything. I don't believe in shying away from the nerdiness of the experience, especially for me, because I'm working not only on this great show, but I'm working with people who I've idolized for so much of my life, you know, and getting to do things like Washington on Your Side with Breaker and James every night is truly so insane to me. But at the same time, it's also like, well, you're on that playing field with them. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's not some contest you won. Like, you've actually earned your keep to get there. And so now, what are the things that you need to do so that you can go home and not beat yourself up at night for not being in the moment? And so if allowing myself to find the joy and the unadulterated, crazy, like, I made my theater dreams come true. But at the same time, like, I need to give this line to James so that he can hit his punchline so that he can get the laugh. Figuring out how to, you know, just be there for him as that actor and be there for everybody as that actor while balancing, you know, the funness of it has been a really cool challenge.
And so what has that combination been like, knowing these two different companies where, like, the Philip tour had all that fun and energy and it just like that raw energy, and now you're on Broadway, different feelings, right?
Yeah, it's very different. And especially in the sense that, you know, so much of the rehearsal process for the Philip tour was all about, you guys are a brand new company, you know, you're starting on a coat on the West Coast. And the only part of the West Coast we've been to is LA and San Francisco. So we're still exploring new territory of people who are experiencing Hamilton. Like, what was crazy was that we were, I think, either the fifth or the sixth company to open. And so I was kind of like, oh, well, you know, the lack for a better term, the machine of what Hamilton is becoming in terms of how much it's spreading across the country is really moving along. People already know, people already get it. Like, it's not going to be as crazy. And I couldn't have been more wrong, because we were kind of touching untapped market in the Pacific Northwest. You know, they have had zero touch from Hamilton in New York. And so when we got there, it was insane. It was absolutely insane. And that's part of the reason I think we were all so crazy energetic, and there was so much, you know, absurd raw energy. I watched the clip from our first couple previews not too long ago, and I was dying of laughter because I was like, it's as if you thought we actually had cannons in our pockets, because we're just running and screaming and we're so excited. And so much of, you know, the process of our company was not even just learning how to tone it down, but it was more learning how to be able to take that energy and focus it in a way that's most effective. And I think that's one of the best parts about the tour, was that it was never about them trying to change what we were bringing to the table, or never them trying to see what we were doing and going, that's too much. But it was more like, you know, you guys don't have to work as hard. Like, you guys don't have to hurt yourselves, or you don't have to blow yourselves out just trying to make a point. Like, rely on the music for that. Bring some of that energy, bring some of that excitement. And it was so much more about morphing it as opposed to tearing it away. And then, you know, the transition to Broadway was a lot more that I was joining a mechanism or an organism that was already existing, something that was already in place. And so it was really cool. And it can be frustrating and it can be scary to kind of jump into something that's already existed. And a lot of those people have been there for the past 3 years, you know, so that's kind of been the cool thing about the Broadway company, is that there hasn't been a lot of changeover. And that when me, Tamar, and Aubin kind of came in, and Preston, when we all came in at the same day, you know, we were the first major changeover for the company in a couple of years. And so it could be frustrating and it could be hard, but, you know, for me, it was actually a lot more fun to be able to come in and be like, all right, what's everybody doing? What are you doing over there? Is that what you're doing? Okay. All right. I see you. All right. And it was more just like, what does everybody bring into the table? Because now Broadway is this crazy amalgamation of all these different people, of people who, you know, have only done the Broadway company, or a lot of people from Chicago, a lot of people from Angelica, a lot of people from Philip, you know, and it's been so cool to see all of those different companies kind of come to one place and everybody say, okay, what do you got? Okay, I'll take a little bit of that. And then I'll put some of my stuff in there. It's like, you know, stirring a giant gumbo pot. And so that was the really cool experience of coming to Broadway, to really kind of bring my own flavor of what I was doing out on the tour, but also being like, how do I morph it so that, you know, I'm not messing up James or Daniel's or Mandy's show completely, or Miguel's, you know what I mean? Like, just making sure that I'm able to keep what I'm doing, but also giving that actor in front of me everything they need so that they can keep doing the show that they have been doing.
So cool. And a fun little fun fact, my boyfriend John saw y'all's first performance in Seattle.
Whoa, no way. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that performance, I actually remember that very, very vividly, that first preview. We had, maybe it was on a Tuesday, so that Sunday afternoon, we were just going to do another dress rehearsal, but what they ended up surprising us and telling us, hey, if there's a way on Saturday, they were like, if you guys can figure it out, we're going to give everybody 2 tickets and we're going to just open the dress rehearsal for Sunday. And so all of us were kind of scrambling to like, hey, get on a plane tonight, you're going to come see the first preview, blah, blah. And we did all this stuff. And that first preview and that first dress rehearsal, I mean, when I tell you we blew the place off, I don't know how I did another show. We went balls to the wall on that first show. But that first preview was so much more, not necessarily refined. We were still pretty balls to the wall, but we were so now used to the initial, like, we're doing Hamilton, that we were able to kind of really allow the audience to love on us. And I'll never forget that. Earlier that day, Tommy had given us a speech about the curtain, about vows. And he was like, you know, I understand the want to probably wave or to, you know, just connect with the audience members and stuff. And he's like, and I encourage you to, you know, do that subtly in your own way. But what I really encourage you all to do is just stand there and take in what the audience is giving you, because you've just given them 3 hours of yourselves, and just, you know, you don't have to keep being on for them. Just allow them to come to you and to give you love. And I remember at first being like, that's horrible. I need to give love. I need to give them more. And I remember that first performance was kind of the first time all of us kind of just like stood there after the bow and kind of that moment as we were walking off, not really giving much, but in receiving. And it was very emotional for most of us, just because it was a culmination of so many things. Like, we all had worked so hard on that production and on that, in that company. we had learned the show quicker than any other company had before. And it was, that first performance in Seattle was beyond special. It was really, really something.
That's awesome. Yeah, a lot of the comments here are talking about your energy and how much they love seeing that. Yeah. And is talking about how nothing was funnier than Fergie as Hercules during Farmer Refuted. So people have That's their favorite funny. Moments. I love it.
It's great. We love that. We love that about the Ham fans. They're always on it about that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So when I saw Nick Walker's first performance in Ain't Too Proud at the stage door, I think we need to talk about that. The timing was perfect. Like, it couldn't be any better that Ain't Too Proud and Hamilton share the street.
Oh, you mean when we physically assaulted him, when we quite literally beat the crap out of him. So what a lot of people need to understand, which you've heard, everyone has heard, but it needs to be reiterated. Nick is a garbage human. Nick is simply one of the worst people I've ever met in my life. And because of that, he gets whatever is coming his way. More importantly, when he was at Ham, he was, to call him a prankster is, I think, actually very kind and very loving. And I don't want to be. He was a menace. He was a terrorist in ways to us. And he has traumatized many of us. And so essentially, it's not like any of us were planning to go to the stage door to harass Nick. But it's just something you know. When you're a survivor, when you're a victim of Nick's heinous crime, you just know, wherever Nick is going to be, I should go and hurt him a bit so that he gets some payback. And it just naturally, and it's like a magnet effect. You know, everybody just realizes that at the same moment, which is why. So I think Carbons was there. Jafon was there. Daniel Gaiman was there. Abby Yaros was on the tour, was there. James was there. All of us were there. And as soon as Nick walked out and he was all smiley because he just did his first performance as Otis Williams, he very quickly learned that he's not going to enjoy anything. That night, he's going to suffer at our hands because he deserves it. No, but in all seriousness, that's just how Nick expresses his love, and that's how we all express our love with Nick. And seriously, you know, for the douchebag that he is, we are seriously so proud of him for the work that he's doing in Ain't Too Proud. I don't need to see it. I'm going to go see it, but I don't need to see it to know he's brilliant in it. When he heard that he was going to be next door, he called me immediately and was like, "This is not good." And I said, "No, it's not. It's simply not. Like, you're going to get hurt." And that was just simply the first night of that. But mostly, I think, you know, all of us were going to go to the stage door anyway, just to congratulate Nick, especially because Nick is not only so talented, but he's a good human, and he's somebody that deserves all of the good things that happened to him. It's been, you know, only a matter of time until something like this was going to happen for him on Broadway, to be leading a show like that. Because he's frankly one of the only people I trust on Broadway responsible enough to lead a show like that. You know what I mean? As far as acting ability and through line and just kindness and willing to lead a group of people. So yeah, so that's a little of what you and those poor people at the stage door witnessed as soon as Nick walked out. Most of them were so happy to say hi, and instead they watched a beating.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this 180 from he is a garbage human to I trust only
I
him.
I love him so much. Yes.
Perfect. I love
That's
it.
That's how quickly and how succinct it is with Nick Walker.
Gosh, that Nikki Burser, it's a thing.
Yeah, oh, that's a real thing. He's just like a shitty little brother or a shitty big brother, depending on where you are.
Fair.
But whatever it is, the commonality is the shittiness.
Okay. I love that. And something else that the two of you have in common is I've heard both of you are working on podcasts. So
yeah.
Talk about it.
I didn't realize till the other day. I just find this funny. I started listening to podcasts when I was 10. And the only reason I know that is because I had found a radio show that was like for a Muppet fan club. And I was like, oh, that's so fun. Like, yeah, I'm going to get into that. And I like dedicated myself to listening to it for like 3 years. And it wasn't until the other day that I was like, oh, that was a podcast. I was listening to podcasts before anybody knew, before Serial, before any of this foolishness came out. So I kind of have always really been into podcasts. And I kind of for some time was thinking about starting my own podcast because I am somebody who I have my few podcasts, like, you know, my brother and me and The Good Place, the podcast, and Hollywood Reporter Award Shatter. I have a lot of podcasts that I listen to frequently, but I mostly, how I listen to podcasts is who's ever inspiring me as an artist or as a person. I just search and I just listen to every single show that they've been on. And so I've listened to probably hundreds of different podcasts of different episodes of different people and stuff. And I am very captivated by the way people interview and what they choose to talk about when they interview. And something for me is that when I'm listening for actors or performers, to me, I very rarely hear about the craft of what they do, like the specifics and the nitty gritty of what they do. And frankly, it's because I think they're worried a lot of people are going to be bored by it, but it's something that incredibly fascinates me. And so I was like, I'm going to make a podcast just about that, about the nitty gritty of everyone's craft, specifically, you know, emphasis on acting, but I'm going to have all kinds of people on it. But it's going to be about, you know, moment to moment. What are things that you were thinking about when you were trying to execute this specific moment? What was something that inspired you to help you get to that moment? Do you have any funny stories? Like just really getting into some of the behind the scenes stuff that has happened from our favorite shows, favorite movies, TV, or, you know, maybe podcasts. I'm interviewing podcast people. I'm interviewing an Imagineer soon from Disney. I'm going to be interviewing some puppeteers, like all kinds of people, just because I think there's a wide variety of things out there. And I'm very interested in the finite details of it all. So it's called The Craft. I'm filming potentially this week or next week. My first guest is James Monroe Iglehart, my buddy, also casually a Tony winner. But, you know, he's done like a couple things. But, you know, James and I have a lot of really great conversations in between scenes backstage. And often he'll tell me all of these stories that he has. And I'm like, I want to record this. Or he tells me, like, you know, when I was doing this, I remember one time he pulled me aside. I can't even remember when it was, but he was like, what are you thinking about during What Did I Miss when I say the line, blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, I actually just take it as this, this, and this. And we got into a really deep discussion about how we, you know, find our motivations for our characters in the show. And I thought it was so cool. And I was like, I know there are people who want to actually know about that. So I was like, I think I'm going to record that. So I thought James was a good first person for that.
That is so exciting because I am one of those like nerd people that's like, oh, that's how that gets done. Or like,
yeah, exactly.
People want
that kind of stuff. I think people are very, I think we're a lot more interested in some of the nerdy details than some of us want to admit. But I absolutely am. I love all that stuff.
And especially perfect because of the Disney connection with JMI.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into a bunch of stuff with that. That's a whole other thing. I might have to do like 4 episodes so that 2 can actually be about The Craft and then the other 2 can just be about us nerding out, because every day is a whole other nerd conversation between me and James backstage.
Perfect. And talking about your Muppet fandom, I got to see that 54 Below.
Oh, that's right. You came and saw Muppet Sings. Yeah, that was a great concert, wasn't that? It was so much fun. That was a crazy evening because so Rick Lyon, the guy who was performing, he performed Ernie and Kermit that night. He has done a lot of puppeteering work with the Henson Company and Sesame Street and stuff. He did a concert right before Muppet Sings over at the Laurie Beachman Theater, with another puppeteer named Jennifer Barnhart, who also has done a lot of Sesame Street work. She was the main puppeteer on Between the Lions, and she's a good friend of James and Alan. I can't pronounce his last name, but Alan, the guy who plays Alan on Sesame Street, who runs Superstore. And I met Alan backstage at Hamilton, and the two of them were saying, oh, you should meet Jen. You really should get to know Jen. I think you guys would get along great. And it just so happened that, you know, it was going to be that concert was right before the concert at 54 Below. So I went over there and watched her show and got to hang out with Rick and Jen for a bit. So that evening was just puppety evening for myself. That was such a fun event. That was one of those events where I was just like, oh, probably nobody I know is going to be here. This is just going to be a fun little nerd night for me. And of course you were there. anytime I'm anywhere where I'm like, nobody cares who's going to be here. You're always there supporting. So it's always lovely to see you at those events. But that was a fun night, wasn't it?
So much fun. And I love supporting. That's one of the best parts of being in this industry is being at those like little shows that you're like, Oh, I would love to see my favorite performer from this also sing that.
Sing that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so fun. And like I feel like performers are so much more, we're always doing like little passion projects or little nerdy things like that, that we're just like, we're just doing this for ourselves. Nobody's going to come and care about this. And then people are there that, you know, respect what you do. And you're like, okay. It's a little the best of both worlds for me right now.
Exactly. Yeah. We actually just watched the Muppets last night, two nights ago, because I love them. And so Jim Henson.
The newest one or the
newest one. Yeah.
The newest one. Yeah.
Which, fun little story. So Jim Henson went to University of Maryland, go Terps.
That's right. Yes, he did.
So we have like a statue of him and Kermit. And
yeah, on the bench, right?
Yep, exactly. So I have a picture there from freshman year and then when I was graduating, because that's kind of like
a
cornerstone moment. And so when the Muppets movie was coming out, the new one, they actually had a free screening at our school.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was so much fun getting to see that and bond and know like, oh, that person's actually based off of like a Maryland professor and like stories. Yeah.
That's so fun. Oh, wow. Yeah. It's funny. That bench is, so my brother lives out in Baltimore, not too far from University of Maryland. And I always am like, yeah, I'm going to go down there and go look at the bench. I want to just like take a picture or go take a seat for a minute. And I always forget every time I go to Maryland. I forget, so I've never actually seen it. And I think one of my family members was like, you know, if someone really likes Muppets, you're doing a pretty crappy job. Every time you go to Maryland, you always forget to go see it. That's so cool. That's awesome that they did that. That's really sweet.
Yeah, and it's right outside the Stamp, which is like the main place. So next time you'll have to do that and take a picture.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually freaking do it next time.
Do it. Jay's asking, has Fergie been to the Museum of the Moving Image to see the Henson exhibit?
Yes, I have gone twice now. I'm about to go a third time soon, hopefully when everything comes back. I was literally just thinking about that exhibit this morning. You know, what's really cool is that all of those exhibits, so there's about three, I want to say, in the country right now. There's one in Seattle. I don't know if that one is still there, but there's one in Seattle, there's one in Georgia, and then there's one in Queens at the Moving Image Museum. And the foundation that works on getting all of those puppets to the exhibits, what I think is really smart is that they're constantly changing them out and switching them around between the three different museums, just because they're in three different parts of the country. And so I've been fortunate enough to go to two out of the three, but I've seen so many of the different puppets because they're constantly just changing them out everywhere. And it's really amazing. Yeah. The one in Queens is really, really well done. I mean, absolutely well done. They just recently put in a new exhibit for The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, which is the new Netflix series, which is the prequel to the original, I think it's 82 Dark Crystal film. And yeah, that exhibit, so I can't recommend that exhibit enough. I actually think it's absolutely incredible, along with the whole museum. The museum is great if you're a fan of film, but that Henson exhibit is really just exquisitely well done and tells his story with such justice. And they have so many puppets there, like all of your favorite characters and ones that you probably have never seen before. And so it's really cool. And they have a lot of his original sketches because he was a very visual artist. He sketched a lot of his own puppetry before they took it to the shop to build it. So you see a lot of his sketches in there. You see a lot of the time cards and a lot of the script rewrites for the Muppet Show back in the 70s. They have all of those really different cool things.
Well, I am definitely going to check that out when life begins again.
Yeah. Yeah, but I highly recommend it. It's a really, really wonderful exhibit.
Sweet. And Lisa's saying the Henson Studios in LA offer Muppeteering classes and you get to even make your own Muppet.
Do they really? Oh my gosh. That's awesome. That's funny because I've been like looking for an official like puppeteering class or puppet building thing. So I'm going to look into that. Thank you, Lisa. Awesome. Yeah, that's really incredible. And that's funny that they do that because they've been so secretive about, you know, any kind of classes and stuff like that. It's usually like invited workshops or auditions and things like that. So I hope they are opening it a bit more up. They'll definitely see me there.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think people just want to know, like, has the Hamilton cast been like staying in touch? Have you been able to rehearse at home at all? Like, what's that been like over the last few weeks?
You know, as everybody knows, like, there's just so much that we don't know right now. So none of us really know when we're going back to work. As far as rehearsing goes, I have not been doing that. But I will say this. I do find myself listening to the soundtrack and singing it a lot more than probably before when I was just doing the show. I think we all miss it very, very much. We all are in contact with each other. The Ham Fam universe in general. I've been in contact with the people from San Francisco, the people from the Angelica Company. You know, I've been talking to really everybody. All the people on the Philip tour that I left, I've been talking to. And we've had a couple of Zoom meetings with Lynn and Tommy and some of the creators, which have been really sweet of them, for them to kind of arrange and just talk to us and check in with us. We're constantly updated with emails from company management and from Jeffrey, the producer. So there's been a lot of communication from everybody, just, you know, telling, just wishing us health and wishing us sanity and being a supportive ear for us whenever we need it. So as far as the cast goes, we're all constantly talking to each other and, you know, sending each other updates about what we're doing at home or sending each other funny memes. And so, yeah, we're all constantly talking. Yeah.
What do you think that first day is going to be like when you have an audience again? Whew.
Man, I've gotten emotional thinking about it. I really have, because I already know it's going to be one of those really, really special moments. I personally hate seeing people compare this to 9/11, because I just think it was a very, very different event. But I think what's going to be similar is that the Broadway community is very much a beacon of hope and a community that a lot of people are going to look to when it comes to these events that have had to stop New York for a little bit. And I think that this is going to be another time where the Broadway community is going to, you know, without question, lead New York City back into civilization. And I think we're going to have it's going to be an exciting week to just be performing again and, you know, getting back into the swing of things. And Broadway will probably be one of the first things that lets people know that we're back for good and that we're back. We will always rise again, you know. So I'm sure it'll be a very emotional and beautiful week.
Getting emotional even thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is there anything that you want to just say to your fans, anyone who's maybe a little nervous about what they should be doing or should not be doing now? Kind of, I know last night on your Instagram, you were saying like, it's okay to not be creating and it's okay if you are inspired. What do you want to say like directly to your fans now?
Basically, you know, just what I'm always saying, and it's that this time is so uncertain, and nothing about this time was rewarded to us or given to us with care. It was kind of forced upon us. It was thrown at us, and we're all just trying to do the best that we can with all of this weight that we didn't ask for. And so there's no reason to feel like you have to do anything with it specifically, other than keep yourself spiritually, emotionally, and mentally well. That's really your only job during these times, is to make sure that you are doing the best that you can so that you can wake up the next morning. And then when you find that you are doing okay, reaching out to making sure other people are okay and giving love and services, even if you don't have the means or the funds to donate or the skill to create masks like other people are, just spreading nothing but good love, spreading patience. This is a weird time. You know, people are really looking to so many different things to help them cope. And so the only thing that you have to be required to do is take care of yourself. And don't feel like that, you know, so much of what is being talked about is that like during plagues or during these really weird events where society kind of shuts down for a little bit, in the hiding or in the bunkering, you know, we've gotten some of the world's greatest artistic pieces. We've come out of it with a renaissance, which has been great. But we're not required to birth a renaissance after this. And no one is saying you have to. But what I'm saying is that I've definitely have found pressure on myself to create my Hamilton, you know, in the time, because I have all this time, but I'm not required to. And neither are you. No one is required to do anything. Don't put unnecessary pressure on yourself more than what we've already been given. You know what I mean? To be nothing but kind to yourself during this time. And so please don't feel like you have to do anything you don't want to do. If you want to just stay around and eat chips and watch TV all day, then fuck it, do that. You know, no one's stopping you. It'll all go back to normal soon. There'll be a day when you stop doing that. So for now, just like rest easy in the fact, keep breathing and just stay here. That's all you have to worry about right now, just staying here.
Yes, stay inside, be well. And if you're able to go on like socially distant walks, you know, that's really nice. Like that.
Go outside, yeah. Yeah, I went on a walk today and it was the best thing I could have done. And I wasn't really in the mood to, but it you know, it did help going on a walk today.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So please donate to the Actors Fund if you're able to, everyone watching at home. Are there any other things you're saying that people should like look out for, any like charities or nonprofits to donate to?
BCFA is also doing a lot of stuff. Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS is doing stuff. Actors Fund is doing a lot of great stuff. Look for local businesses that might be needing some help in regards to if they have the funds for proper things like having gloves and having disinfectants and having, you know, a mask and stuff like that, because especially the local restaurants are still trying to make ends meet and they want to take the health precautions. But at the same time, you know, unfortunately, a lot of our corporation companies are taking this opportunity to overcharge. And, you know, also supply and demand is getting a little bit more difficult because everybody's asking for something. And so it's getting just a little bit tough. And so look to your local businesses, look to see if, you know, your local health practitioners need anything, especially nurses in hospitals right now, because there are not enough masks. And it seems that FDA is being a little bit cooler about regulation mask that, you know, nurses need to be in the hospitals. And so just do what you can and keep yourselves informed. Don't go to social media to find an opinion. Watch the news and then form your own opinion. And that's really all I can do. And that's all I'm trying to do right now, at least.
Perfect advice. So if people do want to find you on social media, maybe not for a take, but just for your great content, where should they look?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, both at Fergsters95, FERGSTERS95. Yeah. And I'm both on those. I keep up with both of them pretty frequently. Find me out there.
Great. And I'll be posting this interview there. You can find me at B-Way Show, B-W-A-Y-S-H-O. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. We really appreciate
it. I've had a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the 10th episode of B-Way Show, the podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review so you can be a spy on the inside for future episodes. To watch Fergie sing I'm Going to Go Back There Someday from the Muppets, head over to B-Way Show YouTube. Thanks as always to Kyle Braxton, aka Geddon, for these awesome beats, Jelani Remy for the beautiful intro riff, and Chelsea Hill, aka Illustrating Diva, for the cool cover art. If this was your jam, you can become a Showtreon! Head over to patreon.com/bwayshow. We do weekly trivia and monthly video chats. It's a fun time. Come check it out. We don't know the future of live theater or when Broadway will be back, but we do know it's on all of us to get through this pandemic. Wear a mask, be safe, and let's take care of ourselves. We'll see you at the show.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.